Hello everyone, and welcome to the second Enable New Minds podcast with me, Aidan Thompson. Keeping it nice and simple again today, I'm just going to be reading through my second piece of writing, You Are Not the Voice in Your Head, which focuses on presence, primarily inspired by The Power of Now, has more recently been had its ideas evolved by Waking Up with Sam Harris. That's the book and the podcasts, and it's been one of the main areas of interest since I began taking education seriously again as a young adult. I haven't quite sorted out my rhythm between podcasts and blog articles. My work life is very busy at the minute, and I'm not making an excuse, I'm just explaining why. Hopefully I can become more regular with my work as time goes on and get some kind of alternating pattern. Podcast, article, podcast, article, so on. For now, I think it's just going to be quicker for me to produce another podcast. And repeat something I've already written with hopefully an added layer of insight as well. So, let's start. I need to go to work. When shall I leave? What time is my alarm set for? I'm going to need some lunch. There's nothing in the fridge. Okay, I'll buy some stuff at work. But that's not going to be healthy. And I can't afford it. How can I afford it? I better work some more. If I work, I can't go to the gym tonight. No, I need the extra hours. How can I get a raise? Shut the fuck up. That inevitably sounded calmer than when those brain patterns are happening in real life. They're normally messier and more sporadic, but as I'm speaking in my podcast voice, which is significantly slower than how I speak in real life, it may not have seemed as damaging as it could be. On that note, I just wanted to explain that obviously I don't communicate like this at this tempo normally with my day-to-day interactions, but I find doing the podcast in any other mode almost impossible. I trip and I stumble over my own words, I get sidetracked, I don't really know where I'm going. Whereas when I slow down and breathe, my work seems to roll off the tongue a lot more. The malignant mind is a disease which has taken over the vast majority of our population. It doesn't need to be this way. You can choose to switch off that incessant chatter, using your brain as a problem-solving tool, not a problem-creating tool, as and when it's required, still functioning perfectly whilst going about your day-to-day, but as a more productive, efficient, loving, and peaceful human being. Uh-oh, he said, love and peace. Well, leaving aside the metaphysics, mythology, and sectarian dogma, what contemplatives throughout history have discovered is is that there is an alternative to being continuously spellbound by the conversations we are having with ourselves. There is an alternative to simply identifying with the next thought that pops into consciousness. I didn't make that clear, but from leaving aside the metaphysics to pops into consciousness was the quote, which I'll now talk about. I asked one of my friends a few weeks ago to read this article, knowing that he is fully skeptical of this kind of thing. And straight away, the first thing he said was that quote is just nothing. It's just big words being used to confuse people, and it holds no real meaning. Now, I do not hold that position at all, and I fully understand what that quote means and the profoundness of it and the importance of it, but I wouldn't have if I've read that 6 months ago. If you don't know the terminology and you don't have the interest in the first place, you're not going to engage with it. And that is why I have the Enable New Minds Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, where I break down lots of quotes like that. I've actually uploaded definitions for metaphysics, mythology, sectarian, dogma, contemplatives. That's just five of the words from that quote, which have all been defined on my social media. And therefore, they act as quite a useful tool to helping you engage with this kind of content. On with the text. If that beautiful quote by Sam Harris, taken from his book Waking Up, wasn't enough, and you still find yourself eye-rolling at the mention of inner peace, there's not a lot I can do. Either your past experiences trump mine, or you currently self-identify as the voice in your head. Your ego, and therefore your mind, will do everything possible to disregard, fight, and object this concept, because shutting off that voice occasionally would be to silence yourself, which may not be a bad thing either. I later found out this is similar to psychological projection, which is kind of like when you defend yourself by projecting the negative image onto someone else. I've explained that badly. For example, if I was a notorious bigot and a racist, and I walked around calling other people bigoted racists, that would probably be an example of psychological projection. Being that I don't have a PhD in psychology, and the Wikipedia definition was sent to me by a friend, and I've only read it once, feel free to flag me up if that example was appalling. If this isn't the case, and your life is in fact a true and pure abundance of happiness, completely without flaw, then please crack on. Who the fuck am I to even suggest otherwise? My best guess, however, is that it isn't, and the lurking feeling of discontent isn't shrinking as much as you try to bury it in money, drugs, sex, alcohol, video games, phones, or by whatever other subconscious form arises as the driving force that steadies you, as you continue ploughing on grudgingly through the mass ball of confusion and unanswered questions, which is our fragile existence within the expanding and the unlimited. Mouthful. I'm actually quite impressed I read that first take today in one go correctly. I imagine it's a rubbish piece of literature in terms of the use of grammar. This needn't be the case. Not my bad use of grammar. We're looking at the lurking feeling of discontent. This needn't be the case, and it is very possible to feel more content, more connected, and more love right now by stopping the incessant compulsive thinking and halting the malignant mind, a process which grows easier and easier with practice, because contrary to popular belief, practice makes permanent, for the better or for the worse. Habits. I'd just like to add that word there. Habits. Habits are so important for forming what becomes permanent in your life. And I think by focusing on setting good habits, you can achieve exponentially more. Just look beyond the dogma and preformed opinions you have about presence, mindfulness, inner peace, or whatever other words you associate as hippie snowflake language, and hear this out. I'm speaking from first-hand experience as a 20-year-old construction worker from England, whom, having recently introduced the concept of disassociating myself from my mind and observing my thoughts, have certainly found my life being filled with an ever-growing list of positive changes. Positive changes that I continue to encounter. Maybe 6 to 12 months on now. I've been the most content and happy 12 months of my life, without a doubt. And I've had some pretty good ones prior to that. I've been very lucky. Out of the ever-growing list of positive changes, content being the most obvious, followed quickly by the removal of many harmful substances and environments. For when you live in the now, and you take every moment as its own, fighting addiction doesn't seem so hard as you reconnect. Connection is in fact the opposite of addiction. On that note, I have given up multiple harmful substances I was taking on a fairly regular basis. Most recently, nicotine. I've smoked between 10 and 15 cigarettes a day for maybe since I was 16, 4 years. I gave up for about 3 months. I had maybe 2 weeks of being grumpier than I could have been, and then I stopped. And I honestly didn't find it that hard, because when you take every moment for what it is in that moment, the grand scheme of things, the unachievable goal in a week or a month or a year kind of evaporates. I'm proof that you don't need to have lived through the 60s and 70s, smoke weed and stick incense sticks up your bum to put these principles into practice. Not that I'm disregarding any of that, or denying my own engagement with incense stick based marijuana foolery. a sentence for you, but I've derived my opinions from well-established sources whose impacts worldwide are undeniable. Those 535 million Buddhist monks we have on our planet might just have been onto something. I hope that by me interjecting without announcing the switch from text to comment, isn't making this too jumpy or bulky. Please let me know. This will already be on the internet by that point, but at least future podcasts can be better. Seems I've got a paragraph talking about my first article, so we'll just skip through that. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle was given to me by a close friend when I opened up to him about my feelings of discontent. That moment seems like a lifetime ago. Feelings that I believe are shared and ignored by a vast proportion of society. There is no possible way that I could relay and summarize the 236-page book and its included ancient wisdom with more clarity in a brief blog article after only one read. But I shall certainly attempt it, and I hope my portrayal of this message can inspire you to read the book and begin your own journey of love, happiness, self-discovery, and awareness. Yes, that does mean you might have to read something. I assume my dog's bark. My dog's barking made it through there. I apologise for that. I'm certainly far from being privileged enough to have a sound booth available to me. That does mean you might have to read something, or at least get the audiobook. Before reading The Power of Now, I had begun to formulate a few basic ideologies and slogans which I was living my life by. 1. Work hard, play hard. 2. Moderation in all things, including water. 3. The fact we are here is a miracle, and therefore life should be treasured. And 4. Someone is always worse off, and therefore you should be grateful. Now, I probably derived 3 out of 4 of those from late night, drugged fueled conversations at after parties, which I would then repeat and stick by. And moderation in all things came from my dad's mum, which I love. Now, some of these mottos are pure and true and worked on some personal levels for me. However, some did not. They lacked depth, understanding, and experience. And the fact I took pleasure in knowing that someone is worse off than me, opposed to using that same knowledge to be the driving force for being nice or helping others, I can now see as slightly twisted and deranged. They certainly required an upgrade, and the book provided me this, and so much more. I can only describe my experience with it through metaphor. Imagine you're trying to complete a 1,000-piece puzzle, but you've only got 2 or 3 pieces. They're all crumpled and dirty. And then someone comes along and hands you the fully finished piece, all shiny and glossy. It was overwhelming. had an instantaneous and profound effect on me. A benefit that possibly couldn't be attributed to completing a puzzle. But we'll roll with it. As happy as I became with the newfound knowledge provided for me by this book, it was clear that this was just one of many great puzzles I'm yet to complete as I try to become a better, more rounded and aware human being on my journey through life. Suffering from dry mouth at this point. Not quite sure how far through the article I am, but this has so far been done in one recording, which I'm rather chuffed about. My last attempt was a shambles and quickly deleted upon revisiting today. Back to the text. In short, and to the best of my knowledge, to be present is to shut off the inner voice, or to at least recognize it and observe it from a non-judgmental position. So when you hear that voice in your head, watch it. Observe what words are coming up in your head and where are they coming from. And then observe that if you're observing that, you must be something else. You must be beyond the voice in your head. Don't judge it. Observe it. And a lot of the time, when you observe it, it dissipates. And that is what I imagine is the next step, is to have it shut off as much as possible and to live in the moment with sight, touch and all your other senses, and to trust your gut and to switch on your brain when it's time to use it. Focusing on the internal and the external that you experience in that moment. For all we have is the now. And you can only ever be in the present moment. So by bringing this to attention and learning to enjoy what's currently going on, rather than thinking about the past or the future, can generate a great sense of contentment and joy. Real contentment and joy. There is nothing superficial about it. Everything blurs into one in the now. And looking at each individual moment as its own makes it hard to hold on to anger, allowing you to be more at peace with the people and the world around you. You can have a higher level of focus and clarity on the tasks you're completing, and waiting becomes a thing of the past, as you are now solely enjoying the moment, taking it and accepting it for what it is. Again, easier said than done when it's 6 p.m. in the hospital waiting room and your appointment was at 12, or you're ridden with cold, nose and face is streaming, and you've got to spend the next 6 hours stuffing insulation into wall cavities. But it is achievable. You can find peace in this moment. I can attest that it is better. Time does go faster. All of the above, because I'm writing from experience. I also want to add that it's not like you go into some kind of trance or alternative state and it's unimaginable. It's really quite normal. It's just better. Or something along those lines. But it really is no different. You're not taking in more information or less information. You're just living. And you don't feel like Spider-Man, sadly. Next paragraph. The more this sensation of true mindlessness is experienced. Now, I would correct this and change it to mindfulness. I did mean mindlessness, but it all depends on whether you define mindlessness or mindfulness as the state of just being. And so, if you could pick either or make up your own word for being present and living in the now, that would be great. Or if you could tell me why it is in fact mindfulness, which I think is the more commonly used word, or it may in fact be the right word. The more this sensation of true, insert word here, is experienced, the easier it becomes to take yourself to this place. So let's just try an exercise now. Close your eyes, concentrate, and then tell me what your next thought is going to be. Anything come up? Now outstretch your hand in front of you and stare intensely at your finger. Breathe and increase your concentration. Any thoughts? It may be the case that your mind is running riot and it did in fact fail to cease even for a moment there when you increased your concentration. But it is possible that during these activities you experienced no thought because you increased your level of focus. This is the reason I believe lots of high-level athletes and adrenaline junkies do what they do, because their concentration levels or adrenaline levels go so high that they have no alternative other than to live in the now. But with practice, you can essentially make sitting cross-legged on a towel in a cold stone room just as exciting as many contemplatives through history have proven. I think a healthy balance between the two will suit me just fine. You may have disconnected the flow of incessant chatter. Now, I can only maintain this myself for a small amount of time, but with just a few attempts at home and during yoga, I believe I've had some success. When I get myself into this state, I find my body being filled with happiness and love. I usually find myself smiling, although I've been told that true presence doesn't always mean that your body's going to feel amazing or your mind is going to be under control. Just means you're aware of it. It's about the path and not the goal. These quotes and topics will mean more and more delve into this school of thought yourself. It's not all about peace and love, though. Practicing being in the now can increase and improve your concentration, your reflexes, your memory, and most importantly, and something I can attest to, is that it can improve your relationships with the people around you, loved ones, friends, family, and total strangers, as it removes your judgments, biases, and discriminations, and allows you to build a proper connection, as it bypasses the narratives that we have been telling ourselves that make up our judgments and opinions. A technique that I imagine would be significantly helpful for coping with social anxiety. I am not a medical professor, however, so please check that yourself. People appreciate this raised level of attentiveness. It's recognized, and you might just find things going your way a little bit more. If someone starts beeping me up in the car, I don't want to get out and tell him to fuck off. I just feel bad for him. Why is that person so mad? What has led them to get to this point? That is, unless I have also had a bad day. In which case, yeah, I might start beeping too. Human judgment and interaction are other topics I look forward to exploring. Stepped out of my podcast voice briefly and subtly there for a second. Go back to the much softer version of me. I do hope that as I get more confident with the speaking and my vocabulary improves, that I will be able to add a bit more of my own personality and charisma to my podcasts. It may just be that I am this boring. We shall see. I've noticed thousands of positive changes from attempting to apply this technique in my life, as and when I can. I would love to share with you my little day-to-day techniques another time, but for now I want to leave you with something that will hopefully encourage your own pursuit of inner peace. I feel like this might actually be the opportunity to share some of my other day-to-day techniques. I'm going to attempt to do that now. I find the shower a useful tool for reeling my mind in a bit. If I can get in and out of the shower without having one thought, then I should be given a medal. I don't think I've yet achieved it, but I can hold longer and longer periods of mindfulness. And I do this by focusing on exactly what I'm doing. If I'm body washing my arm, the sensations on my hand and my arm, and the water on my back, and the heat, and my breath, Vipassana yoga has taught me it's very important. And so much to say for the power of the breath, my newest. I've recently become a fan for Iceman Hoff, who can climb mountains, Everest in his boxers, and can heal himself after being injected with E. coli just through breathing. He's truly mastered being present and using the breath. Check him out, he's a cool dude. And you can have 45 second long cold showers like me and run around calling yourself the Iceman. Anyway, I was gonna tell you some of my day to day techniques. So, practicing presence in the shower would be one. I'm very mindful of whenever I interact with a stranger, taking that moment on face value and not making any judgments, breathing, letting them speak, helps to quiet my mind. When eating, really slow down and get into cutting your food and putting different bits and different combinations on your fork. When you put it in your mouth, tasting all the flavors and sensations and just taking time to enjoy what you're doing a little bit more. That's all I can come up with off the top of my head. In hindsight, for my next one, I should maybe read through it first and make some annotations on things I'd like to expand on. That was pretty poor. So we'll carry on. I want to leave you with something that will hopefully encourage your own pursuit of inner peace. Even though I know now, should not be the goal. As well as a few momentary feelings of happiness and an overall positive increase on my outlook on the world, I've had two crazy moments which have stood out for me. After managing to maintain what I believe is a high level of presence for a significant amount of time, I have experienced such powerful feelings of ecstasy, joy, and happiness that they have truly been similar to previous experiences of taking MDMA, but without the gurning. Or maybe a more classical moment like winning something big or whatever. I'm from Medway. I draw from what I know. That isn't a joke. The sensations I felt were as if I'd taken pills and was dancing my heart out at whatever bar. That overwhelming love for everyone sensation. One began during a day playing my role as a construction worker. The other was a bit more cliche, after speaking to a friend after a yoga class. Both times I've managed to maintain being entirely in the now for an extended period, functioning normally as a human being and getting on with my day to day, yet being close to tears, feeling nothing but content and gratitude with no external influences other than taming my mind. If you cannot engage with the idea of being present for inner peace, at least let your path begin with the quest for this sensation, you bloody junkies. Much love. So that's the end of the second Enable New Minds podcast. Wanted to add just at the end there that the conversation I had after the yoga class, he also felt the same, the feeling was reciprocated, which is quite amazing. I've since been caught up in my head a lot whilst doing work and taking on different tasks. And I've found just now that even slowing down for 45 minutes and reading something I wrote out loud has forced me to be present, and I do feel a lot better for it. I then wrote a side note which gives the whole promotional spew, so I'll do that now off the top of my head. If you enjoyed this podcast, could you please share it, like it on whatever platform you're on, comment. I know it seems long to do those things, but it really isn't. And if you could just drop it a like, it would mean a lot. And if you could share it, it's not going to affect you a lot. It's not going to impact your day. And if it's had any insight in it whatsoever that you found valuable, then there's no shame in sharing that and positively affecting someone else. We should all be supporting each other as much as possible in everything we do, taking time to get to know our locals and step away from the, better be careful with what I say there. We'll leave it at that. So yeah, give us a like, a share, and possibly a follow on my social media accounts as well, @EnableNewMinds. That would be great. Thank you very much.